We are reading from the first canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 2, text number 13. Translation. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. So the perfection is to discharge one's duties for the pleasure of the personality of Godhead. Purport. Human society all over the world is divided into four orders of life. These four orders are the intelligent group, the martial group, the productive group, and the laborer group. These groups are classified in terms of one's work and qualification and not by birth. Then again, there are four orders of life, namely the student life, the householder's life, the retired, and the devotional life. In the best interest of human society, there must be such divisions of life, otherwise no social institution can grow in a healthy state. And in each and every one of the above-mentioned divisions of life, the aim must be to please the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. This institutional function of human society is known as the system of Varnashram, Dharma, which is quite natural for the civilized life. The Varnashram institution is constructed to enable one to realize the absolute truth. It is not for artificial domination of one division over another. When the aim of life, realization of the absolute truth, is missed by too much attachment for indriya priti or sense gratification, as already discussed herein before, the institution of the Varnashram is utilized by selfish men to pose an artificial predominance over the weaker section. In the Kali Yuga, or in the age of quarrel, this artificial predominance is already current, but the saner section of the people know it well, that the divisions of castes and orders of life are meant for smooth social intercourse and high thinking, self-realization, and not for any other purpose. Herein the statement of Bhagavatam is that the highest aim of life, or the highest perfection of the institution of the Varnashram Dharma, is to cooperate jointly for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. This is a verse which introduces us to a system which is meant to help us situate ourselves in this world so that we will not be disturbed by the waves of change which are constantly influencing our lives from outside. In this world, change is a feature which cannot be overlooked. For instance, our bodies are constantly changing from childhood to old age and then to death. We may not like this change, but it is bound to happen. There are other waves of change. They are called hunger and thirst. Desire and repulsion. I like this, I don't like it. And again, birth and death. These are changes of the material existence. Everything is always changing. The time now is changing. It is becoming spring. our association is changing. We were together for a wonderful festival, but now we will move on into our lives. The second part of the festival has approached. We will try to put into practice what we have learned. Change is a constant factor of this material world. The material world, in fact, is a world of change. So within this, you could say, waves of change, it's important to situate ourselves in a situation which is, which helps us to know a little bit how we function in this world, and which then stabilizes us. I know of many systems where this is attempted of. I became aware of one system called the Enneagram. It's a system which comes, according to the research workers, into Europe from Asia. And it is a very ancient system which was used by those Sufis who are or those Muslims who are Sufis, but also by Christians. Its origins of the system is shrouded. No one knows for certain. I personally believe it comes from the Varnashrama system, but that's only a subjective opinion, and it's not well researched. It's a little speculative. Well, the Enneagram, what is it? It describes 9 character types. It describes exactly what are the challenges for these character types, what are the strengths of these character types, what is a behavior which is unliberated, that means a bound, very conditioned behavior, and what is for these character types a liberated behavior. I can give you an example. The character type which is the one in the Enneagram is a highly intelligent person who is able to organize society and his life, who's very exact. The challenge for this person is that he is not often in touch with his own feelings or his personality. He just works from the platform of an intelligence. And the other challenge is that he is often a controller of others by his intelligence, and therefore is often very tense. He is a number one. So then this system gives this person advices how he can use his strengths to become a better character, and ultimately how to become God conscious. It's a very ancient system, it has helped many, many, many people to know a little bit who they are, to know what are their strengths, but also to recognize their weaknesses and to use all this in the God self-realization. So another system, and I believe it's the Adi system, to help a person. What it also does, I wanted to say, is that you can recognize where you can situate yourselves, with what you can work, and not commit the mistake which most of the people do in this world, including some of us, maybe many of us, to attempt to do something which, first of all, we cannot really do, because we don't have the abilities. And second of all, we attempt to do something where we only confront obstacles and again obstacles and obstacles, and finally become so, I would say, so dead, so uninspired and so hopeless even, that we can also not move on very nicely with our spiritual development. So the origin of this system is Lord Krishna's very ancient system, which is unfortunately not well understood in modern society. This original system works a little bit. Works also. The principle in the system is you find out who you are, but in two ways. What are you like in your life situation? And the second system, the second category is, what should you do in this world? How should you act? There are, as you know, these four life situation, student life, where you are mainly involved in gathering knowledge and information, and also through two things, hearing and practicing. And you give it this, your full attention, that's called the Brahmachari Ashram, or for the women, they have the same situation, Brahmacharini Ashram, where they purposefully concentrate their mind now on building a strong foundation in their life, the Brahmachari Foundation. Brahmachari means really to act on the platform of Brahman, on the spiritual platform. It doesn't. We often might think the most important thing of Brahmachari or Brahmacharini life is that celibate lifestyle, but that's only of secondary importance, because it helps what is most important. Most important in this life is to gather spiritual knowledge and to act on that platform, and therefore. It's more favorable if you stay alone without the sometimes entanglements of partnership. Second is Grihastha Ashram, where you are thinking very much about the maintenance of your own family and the society. And the third is something where you prepare yourself to detach yourself from the world, the Vanaprastha, and then is sannyas life, which Prabhupada describes as devotional life. I will go quickly through it because you all know this. I just realize you have heard this before. And then the other is things which you should do in this world. In what are you good in, the occupational system of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Yes. So this is something where you can get some security if you find yourself. For instance, in my life, I will give a personal example. For me, it is very clear that this life. Is meant to be given fully to Krishna in his devotional service, and it's also meant to this is my own private life in the sannyas ashram, and I should also contribute to the society. I should not only think of my own welfare, but I can contribute to the society by doing what I do at the present moment is mostly gathering sacred information and then thinking about it and making it available for others so that they can benefit from this information as a preacher, as a Brahminical preacher. And I must say, I have no doubts what who I am in this life and what I should do. This system very much has helped me. For instance, there were times in my movement, in the movement, I'm an older devotee, as you know, relatively older, where the question of management came up. Or also, we older devotees are always requested, because the temples have no Lakshmi to see, we can make some have some ideas for making money. But I found out, no, I'm not a manager. I'm just too much in my other world. And also, I'm not good in making money. I'm Hare Krishna. I'm not a salesman. The other day when I was in Sarajevo, I met this very nice devotee gentleman, is almost a good name, Mr. Basem, who celebrated his birthday here with us. And he was really a businessman, and I could see in our talk how he, I mean, Mr. Basem, his intelligence is so good, he could make business from stones. Stones on the street, he just, it's a certain mindset. And I was standing before Mr. Basem like a tourist before the Eiffel Tower. You know, wow, so high, and so much ability is there, so much. But I thought, oh, yeah, I'm different. So this was this showed me, yes, where I am. It's very good to use this system, to know how to use it, so that you know. Also for our young students, it's good to know I'm a brahmachari. It's good for me to, because then I can study, and then you also study, and you do this, and you, it's clear. It's no longer when the waves of change come. For instance, a brahmachari may fall in lubov. That happens. Then he knows, no, I'm a brahmachari. It's a better, or if a brahmacharini falls in lubov, no, I have to now use this time for this. Maybe later is a good time, but now I know what I should do. It's important to get a fundament in my life. This is first things first. I must do this now, and it helps the mind to remain oriented on the path. This brings me to a very important subject. It is so important to find the stability in our lives. Sometimes we spiritual people are a little unsettled. We don't really know what we should do beyond chanting and serving Krishna and so on, in order to stabilize ourselves in this world. And when we are, if we are pure devotees, we could just chant and read and discuss Krishna Katha. But because we still have something to, some traces of karma, it will be very important for us to find out what we are supposed to do to situate ourselves. In fact, if we don't do this and try to just act on the platform of, it's called Raga Bhakti, the bhakti which is filled with so much attachment to Krishna that you just can't do anything else than just Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And, you know, just so much in fire with Krishna consciousness. If we are on that platform, then we are bound to the Lord 100%, and we don't need the additional support system. This insecurity, is it necessary to situate myself in this life or not, comes out in a discussion which Srila Prabhupada had in Srila Mayapur with some of his devotees. Devotees said, Prabhupada, it's not necessary to situate ourselves according to Varnashram, because we are Vaishnavas. The devotees was saying this meant our only job is to think of Krishna now and to please Krishna. Prabhupada, he looked at this argument and then he said, he looked at his experience as a spiritual master who tries to bring all his disciples back home, back to Godhead, into the kingdom of love. And he said, no, you are not yet Vaishnavas. If you would be Vaishnavas, why would devotees leave devotional service? In other words, Prabhupada had the experience that people came with great hopes in their spiritual advancement, but left the path. He had made this experience, and I think we have seen it also in our community. Huh? Devotees come and go. We know that this is it's a reality of life. And the reason why they go is because of a dissatisfaction in their lives. And the dissatisfaction in their life does not come because of spiritual things, that they feel Krishna consciousness is not right, or they feel doubtful in the philosophy. No, no. They have convinced themselves by clarifying their doubts before they joined. That's not the problem. Doubts or dissatisfaction with the process. The problem is really dissatisfaction with their lives in this practical world. And this dissatisfaction becomes so strong that they feel I must change something. And because they are not yet advanced devotees, they do not recognize from where the dissatisfaction comes from, and therefore they think, oh, I must change my whole life. I must now eat differently than in the temple. I must behave differently, and so on and so forth. So, in order to avoid that this happens to any one of you, we want to all see you in the spiritual world, happily chanting and dancing. We will now give a class. After this class, no one will bloop for the rest of his life. Hare Krishna. Would be nice if it's so easy, but in this class, I really can only give some ideas and request you to look in a direction. I want to be realistic. Let me first of all speak about something which is called Dharma. Dharma is a universal law which is ruling all the aspects of this universe. It rules, for instance, the laws of nature. But it also, Dharma, and here it's more interesting for us, rules also our own lives. Dharma, you could say, is righteousness or what is right. When you do things that are right or correct, you might have seen there is a certain potency of empowerment coming. When you're doing anything right, you become enlivened. When you do anything right, you become even successful. Things which were impossible become possible for you. Why? Well, if you do things right, you are connected with Dharma, righteousness. It's a universal law. It's like a wave. You could almost say, do any one of you know body surfing? You are in the ocean and then you make your body like a stick. And then the wave carries you wherever you want to go. Not wherever, but usually only in one direction. But it's all right for our example. So if you know this little technique, swimming is a pleasure. and you go. So Dharma is also like this. If you know how to situate yourself, then the laws of nature will just push you forward, and you will become highly successful in what you want to do. You just need to know this little... it's difficult to explain. To do things right. To do what is right for you. There is not one way to do things right, but there is one way to do things right for you. Your own way. Dharma is just amazing thing. If people are situated in what they are meant to do in this life, the whole universe will come to their help, really, and carry them where they need to be carried to. Conversely, if someone doesn't know his Dharma and he tries something which he is not suited for, he can break his head. trying it again. It's a little painful, but then he thinks it may be painful because my angle of banging my head against the wall was not actually the right angle. So he tries. But again, it's painful. Oops. Until finally he may realize, many don't realize it for the whole life, wait a minute, here was a wall. Here was a wall for me. I was not supposed to run against this wall. I should take another path in my life where there is no Volsky. Yes. This sounds very simple when you speak about it. It becomes quite difficult when you have so many material desires in your heart that you just want to run against the wall. You want to run in this direction because you think that it's not possible that there is a wall. Your desires convince you this is what you should do. But no further discussion. Oh, Jashvi, do you recognize yourself? That's why you laugh, yeah? The desires and attachments. I have been with people who say, I know I should not do this. I know it's not right. But they feel pushed by the desires and attachment to continue with the wrong course of action. So, I would like to now... tell you an ancient story from the Narsingha Purana, I hope it's not yet known to all of you, about the power of Dharma. This story is about one person who didn't know his Dharma and another person who did his Dharma. And they are very dramatically posed. The first is a very, very well-known speaker, Dharma, I believe Dharma Setu. And the second person was an ordinary housewife. Dharma Setu had learned the Vedas from his father and became a great orator. The housewife was just serving her husband, cooking, washing the clothes. I do not remember that she had children, but she would just do all the duties which a housewife did in the Vedic civilization. In the morning, she would go out and put grains on the ground for the birds to take, because as a grihastha she felt she should not only supply her household, she should do good for others, so she did good for the birds. She was a very pious lady. So this Dharma Setu became more and more known and also more and more proud. He lived a very, very austere brahmachari life, which gave him the power to speak so convincingly to thousands of people. One day he was on the riverbank. He did his he took his snan, his bath in the river. After the bath, he washed his towel and washed the gamsha, which he put it on the stones and wanted to wait until it was dried by the sun rays. But two birds came and eventually passed a stool on his gamsha. He became so angry. He had just washed the gamsha and he now wanted to sit and study. But these foolish birds had contaminated his gamsha so that he had to wash it again. This was too much for his patience, and he screamed at them in deep anger. "You rascal birds!" When he said this, he felt a force coming from him, and the birds just were caught by the force and burnt to ashes and fell on the ground. "Oops," he thought, "I'm pretty powerful. My anger burns birds. It's because of my tapasya. Yeah, I know I'm quite powerful. When I speak, thousands of people are attracted. This power is an objective truth. It cannot be ignored." And he felt good about himself. It was a miracle, you know, to say, "You foolish bird, you really meant it." And they were, they died. So on the, he had the so he continued his studies. In the evening, he had a big, big lecture. Then after his studies, you know, you must know, he never cooked food for himself. He also didn't engage a servant. He begged personally the food which he ate, just to remain. It's an additional austerities which brahmacharis do. I also did this for a whole year. In Germany, I went, I never bought anything. I went to the houses of people when I was hungry and said, "I'm very hungry. Please supply me with some food according to my tradition. I'm your child. Your householders, I'm a brahmachari." For 1 year, I lived a very simple life. Muesli was, muesli, do we have muesli in Croatia? Muesli was all. Muesli, some fruits, cucumbers I accepted, butter, nuts. There I learned the taste of dates, because they give quick energy, and I live by begging. And it was very good for character. You become so humble. Oh, you know, because when you are really hungry, then you really are in need. And if someone doesn't give you, you just become very sad. Some people said, "No, ping. Beggar, go home." And he said, "I have no home." It's very nice. Oh, Krishna was so merciful in my life to me. I'm really happy that I did this 1 year. Could have kind of gone home if I would have said to the people, "I can go home and I can have a palace if you want, but I don't want it. I want to live a monk life." That was just a period in my life. I wouldn't recommend it for any one of you. It's also not necessary, but it has to do with my previous life that I had to do this for a year. So, yes. So he also went begging, like it is the ancient tradition. And he came to this house of the Dharmic wife. And the Dharmic wife, you know, he knocked at the door and says, I'm hungry. Can I eat, please?" And she said, "Wait, I'm just now doing my Dharmic duties. I'm supplying my food. I'm supplying food to my husband, but when I'm back, then you can, when I have free time afterwards, you can help him. You can get something. Yes. So he waited. He thought 5 minutes. She's just giving it. But it was a whole hour. She didn't come. Finally, he grew impatient. Who does she think she is? I mean, I'm Dharma Setu. I give a lecture in this town. Most probably, she will be coming because everyone usually comes when I give the lecture. Finally, the Dharmic woman came. She had washed the hands of her husband. She had done all the duties. And she looked at him and said, "Why are you so angry, Dharma Setu? Who do you think you are? You are totally blinded by pride. Don't think I'm like one of these birds whom you killed this morning because you couldn't control your anger like an ordinary barbarian." What? How do you know my name? How do you know about what happened in the morning? I'm practicing my Dharma. And you are not practicing your Dharma, Dharma Setu. You should go home. Your widowed mother needs you. Serve her. And in 9 days from now, a Brahmana will come with his daughter who is in marriageable age. You should go through the Grihastha ashram, marry, and after you are 50, you should leave. And after you've given children to your wife, you should leave and become a great devotee of Narasimhadev. Hare Krishna. You can follow what I say. Here's your food. Go home. Go to the bank of the Ganga. Or you cannot follow. I don't care. Hari Bol. I have now things to do. Dharma Setu went to the river. He thought. And he went home. Well, let's see. Maybe my mother needs me. I didn't know. I forgot all about this. And indeed, the mother needed him. She was aging. She could not supply her regular meals. And then he married because, yes, a Brahmana came. And then he was very satisfied in his life. And he became a great devotee of Narasimhadev. So this is a story which I may have told before. I think it's very, very important for us devotees to recognize the message of the story. The message is you have to situate yourself in your own Dharma. It is necessary for you. If you are not doing this, you will also not have the support system which is there for you, which waits for you. If you do it, then you can live a life which is relatively undisturbed in this world. Relatively. There's no undisturbed life in this world. And you can afterwards, and you can simultaneously pursue your spiritual life. This is exactly what this verse, that is the point of this verse. In the story from the Nrisimha Purana, which I told you, it's a little bit, I don't know, maybe I also didn't understand, but so let me say how it is here. Here, the emphasis is, you should do your occupation, or these vanashrama things, your situation, in order to do what? What is the motivation? Haritoshanam. This means the satisfaction, or the pleasure, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should, yes, serve Krishna with what you do, or please Krishna. And please Krishna, you can do very simple. You live a life where you have your Dharma intact and you have a fulfilling spiritual life. You know, some mission which you do, some some preaching which you do, some whatever you do. So now I come to the very difficult question. It's a challenging question. Yes, Sachidananda Swami. Yes, you have said what we already knew. It's nice to hear it again. But now we will put you on the spot. You will not escape us today. Please tell us, how do I find my Dharma? What can I do? Huh, Pavel? That's the more important question. It's nice to know what to do, but how to do it, that's the crucial point. Do you agree with me? Completely. Oh, thank you. I feel validated, Padmavati. Du hast mich sehr ermutigt heute Morgen. What I will now do, I will try to solve the problems of the whole world in 10 minutes. It's not possible. Again, I must say very humbly, I will now try to serve all of you, but if I don't say, if my answer is not completely satisfying to you, please remain kind to me and continue to give me prasadam, so that I don't have to beg again. It's very hard to do this. It takes a lot of time. See, for devotees who are already developing their attachment for Krishna, it's not always so easy, because it somehow is difficult for them, in my opinion, in my observation, to just go about with their two natures. One nature just wants to go to Krishna. One nature wants to chant more rounds. One nature wants to dance in kirtan and please Krishna and be with devotees and do all this. And there is this other nature which is also there, which is a conditioned nature. So it's not always so easy. So therefore I will give you very simple advices. First of all, I would request you to ask yourself a question. What is my nature? In other words, what am I really good in? Where do I get results? Let us find someone where it's very obvious. Ojashvi. Ojashvi can sit down and chant Hare Krishna, and it's very enlivening for all of us. He's good in it. He sings nicely. He knows the instruments. He doesn't even need to look at the harmonium when he plays. Amazing. He is a person who's able to do this. Now, if you would put Ojashvi in the management council of the Sarajevo Yatra and make him in charge of raising money in creative ways, you would find out that this is not Ojashvi's nature. Is it all right? Yeah. He would not be good in this. For that, we would have to turn to Mr. Basim. He would be better in it. But Mr. Basim can maybe not sing so nicely and play harmonium. What are you really good in? Try to find this. It means also, where do you get results? Where is something happening? You should see, I'm doing this, but no result comes, or at least no satisfactory result. You should then not be just continue with blind material attachments and so on. You should think, let's be honest. And you will see the moment you are honest, you feel a sense of great relief, almost as if the Himalayan mountains have gone from your chest. It pains a little bit because you had the Himalayan mountains for 35 years on your chest, and there is some spot, you know, which will pain when it's all of a sudden not there, but it will heal quite quickly, you know. Sometimes we are so attached to these burdens which we carry that when the burden is not there, we feel something is missing. Hare Krishna. So this is my first question. What are you really, what is your nature? That is, to make it a little bit more clear, what are you good in? Where do you get results of any kind of results? Huh? The second question is, to help you a little bit, no, it's still according to the nature. When you do something which is your nature, you are immediately satisfied. It's immediately there. I was thinking about this. Devotees say, oh, you are so tired, Sachinandan Swami. It's correct. But it's my nature to, I want to sit here and talk about spiritual subjects. If I wouldn't be here, then I would suffer. You know, it's a nature. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the doctor forbade him to speak. He said, you're killing me. The doctor thought he's killing himself if he continues to speak due to the throat situation. But no. If you are doing something in your nature, you will be satisfied. You will feel the satisfaction of the heart. Now, I will come to a second thing which will help you to find your Dharma. It is sometimes very helpful to speak with other devotees. Prabhu, how do you see me? Please tell me. Usually we can't see ourselves so well. We have a blind spot. And when you have a blind spot, you need help. Like, for instance, when the men shave themselves, they need, you know, around the seeker, that's the important part. You can't see there. I don't know, I never tried it because I'm so impractical. But I guess you have one mirror here and one mirror behind you. And then you go, by the help of the mirrors, and then you shave yourself. You know where your seeker is. So you need help. So about your own situation, where your blind spots are, you need sometimes help. You should say, how do you see me? It is said in Kali Yuga, truth hides in the council of six brahmanas. In other words, when you go to six brahmanas, six people who are a little bit refined, brahmanas, and ask them for advice, if they come together, then it's truthful, usually, what they say. Oh, I think, Prabhuji, this is your nature. This is your nature where you're not so good, and I think you should try this. And usually truth is in there. Prabhupada used to take this principle into very ordinary life. He said, when you want to find the way, ask a minimum of six people. You know, when you want to travel and you don't know what is a good put, minimum of six people, then you usually know. This is the right path. Prabhupada is extremely practical. When you want Well, there are many other ideas, but I want to keep it simple. Sometimes also, when it's very difficult for you to see yourself, it's good to get a good horoscope. Prabhupada would very often decide things on the basis of astrological calculations. But he often would say, we make do things different now. In other words, it was only a help. It was not the absolute truth for him. What was absolute was that he wanted to serve Krishna in ways which are very helpful, in ways where he could... And even if something was difficult or didn't make sense from the horoscope, like a journey, he would nevertheless make the journey when he saw it was necessary for Krishna consciousness. But he often did things like one of his secretaries told me, Prabhupada would, when there was a difficult journey and he didn't know should it be done or not, a tour, he would consult astrology and make his decisions on that basis. It was sometimes difficult. The tickets for Mumbai had been booked and then Prabhupada decided, no, we go somewhere else. And tickets, what to do with the tickets? Change. Yes, but... they had to be changed, yeah. So, yes. Hare Krishna. Do you know what is necessary if you want to find your Dharma? Now comes the atom bomb. Fasten your seat belts, please. You have to be a real person. Don't pretend someone to be someone you are not. Unfortunately, we often have a picture in our mind, a picture which we want to fulfill. But this picture is the very source of our pain. It's like a mental creation of who we wish to be, and we are really not willing to face the facts. So, I personally think that we all suffer because of these pictures, and the picture will only go away from our lives if we hear some, if we take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, so that finally we develop one desire and one desire only. I will do everything which is necessary to become Krishna conscious. If you really have this desire in your mind, I will do everything which is necessary to become Krishna conscious, then you are saved. Krishna sees this determination in your heart. I will do everything which is necessary to become Krishna conscious, and he will send his great milas towards you. But as long as you feel my plan should be, I will do everything to fulfill my plan, then it's, you don't have this help of the Lord. Hare Krishna, I wanted to say this. Why? We had a beautiful time together where we celebrated, where we danced, and where we had many... nice experience. I'm very thankful to the devotees who have come from mostly from Sarajevo. We have half of the Sarajevo Yatra here. I look around, yes, some devotees were leaving this morning already. Mahaprabhu is still tolerating us. Or, still with us, and Sukanya is all, yes, and Syama Mayi is also there, and all our the young force of the Sarajevo Yatra is also sitting with us. Jashvi is there, Mandakini, and all, and also devotees from Split there and from other places. Thank you very much. It's just so much nicer to be when the temple room is not so empty, you know. Then the kirtans are better and the overall celebration is better. So thank you very much. But now I would really request you to put these questions, where is your nature, and then to use it in Krishna service. That is very nice. And as devotees of Krishna, we should always see that if we learn to have good and loving association with each other, oh, that will support us more than and that will support us like anything, really. And I want to say if you visit the Sarajevo Yatra, the other devotees, now our Sarajevo devotees have visited us, but I feel we should also visit them. There is not so cold in Sarajevo. People are very nice and friendly. The devotees have just worked for many years on something which is now bearing success. That is the Bhakti Vriksha groups, where they have Bhakti Sangha, and really very good ideas of how to care for the devotees. The devotees feel very much cared for, and therefore many are very attracted to us. So it was not easy for the Sarajevo Yatra to work on it. There were challenges to overcome. I'm also not want to say that it is perfect. I mean, perfection in this world is, where is it to be found? There are always challenges and so on and so forth. But they really consciously work on this. And maybe some of the devotees from here would like to go and just experience it. They will give you prasadam, do not worry. talk with the devotees and so on. It's a very good tip. Hare Krishna. I do not think it is necessary to take questions, although I know many of you have millions of questions on this subject. But I believe if you ask these questions which I have requested you to ask yourself, and are ready to take the counsel of other devotees, then you will find the answer very much. I have seen in my life in Krishna consciousness that this one thing is very difficult for me to explain, but I feel it's important to put it at the end. Sometimes the answers don't come so quick. We are very often used to the situation where we asked a question, for instance, and immediately the answer is there, or an answer is there at least. But for the life, the questions of life, we sometimes have to go and show our qualifications to get the answer. That is, we have to stick with the question over certain years. I had a question in my life which I posed 6 years ago, and only now, after 6 years, this question is slowly answered by Krishna. And I'm happy that the answer comes now, because in the 6 years I have tried my best to get the answer and made many experiences which have prepared me to accept the answer or to understand the answer as it comes now. So that's why I said sometimes the right question, and let me say it more clearly, to stick with the right question is sometimes more important than the right answer, because we may not understand the right answer at the present moment. So to stick with the right question is sometimes very, very important. So Hare Krishna, now I want to say one thing. please allow me, I need now 2 hours of intense preparing work for my secretary, because she leaves to Germany, and I really need this time. It's a one and a half, if you allow me to work for myself, it's 1.5 hours, and then after that I will try to leave to Pula. I'm a little bit, I mean, maybe we have to have maybe some of you, Tridasharoy, maybe you can phone how the streets are. But we have winter tires. It's, yeah. Our, yes, you came from Rijeka, isn't it? How is it? You came yesterday. Good. All the best for you. I will pray for all of you that you will not forget Krishna and this wonderful time. Srila Prabhupada ki.